been rumored that that there is a folk festival going on here, and people have different ideas of why they go to folk festivals. They go to listen to the music. After they've gone to them, especially to ones like this for a while, and it is incorrect to say ones like this because there is only one like this. But I wasn't fishing for anything there. You get the feeling that the reason that you're there really is for the love involved, and the music is simply a way of expressing it. What we're really involved in here is a process that can be interpreted as immortality. There is a persuasion that immortality really is the impression you leave on the people who surround you as you go through life. And it really doesn't matter much what's out there beyond the great tall trees, that if you've made the right impression, then your immortality is made. And so what we're doing is celebrating the immortality of the people that have gone before us who've made great music that we have wanted to repeat, to learn and to sing and to play. And in doing this little piece tonight that features the hammer dulcimer in particular, we are in a way sharing in the immortality of a number of people who have played this instrument in the past. It was just 84 years ago this month that a guy named Chet Parker, who grew up in the Edgemont area of Michigan, which is north of Grand Rapids, was born. Chet Parker never lived outside of Michigan. He lived a very simple life. He was a Gandhi dancer on the railroads. He was a lumberman. He was a farmer, a potato farmer of moderate success, I would say. His crops failed the average number of times, and they succeeded the average number of times. When he was but 13 years old, I think, he built this instrument that is in front of us. That instrument is now 71 years old. In a way, you might say that what you see before you, that little shrine right there, the hat on top of the dulcimer, the little folding stand that he made, and the hammers that are on top, are part of his immortality. But fortunately, there is more than that. He left with us his music. By coincidence, it was just 10 years ago, at the time this festival was beginning, that Folkways released a record album called The Hammer Dulcimer, played by Chet Parker. And I hope this is in your collection. I don't think it's on sale at the Record Hut, but I do believe Folkways still has it in their library, and I urge you to get a copy of it, because Chet played Hammer Dulcimer like nobody else does. And so that's really all I had to say, that we are here tonight in part to pay homage to a man who did a lot for the Hammer Dulcimer. In Michigan, there is a large group of people who play hammer dulcimer. In the liner notes of this album, Pat Murphy, who did the recording, said the hammer dulcimer is an obscure instrument descended from European origins that is no longer played by very many people. He did not know at the time that there was and is the ODPC, the Original Dulcimer Players Club, and there are 40 or 50 of us in Michigan who own these instruments, and there are about 49 who play them. I own one and I'm a member, but I don't play mine. At any rate, I'd like to introduce to you now a young man who was inspired by Chet Parker and learned to play Chet's style. He's gone on, as the folk tradition does, to learn his own style, and I think he plays beautifully, and we're very proud of him in Michigan. His name is Jay Round, and he is now going to play Chet's instrument for us.
Thank you. I find it quite a privilege and an honor to be able to play Chet's instrument. And I will play a few of the tunes that I did get from Chet when I first was starting. And like Buck said, my style is no longer like it, like Chet's. When I first started, it was very much like Chet's. And I would like to play him as much like him as I could, but perhaps I won't. I'd like to do one of his, or a couple of his favorite tunes, the first of which is an old tune called Sun, Get Up and Light the Lamp, I Think I Knocked One of Your Mother's Eyeballs Out. And, anyhow, you might more know that tune by the name Soldier's Joy, and another tune called Raggedy Ann.
There's one more thing I want to tell you that I know you'll appreciate. In March, when Chet died, I got a call from the funeral director in Rockford, who said, "I just became aware of who it is we're going to be burying this week." And he said, "I just found out that he made a record album." And he said, "I wonder whether or not it would be appropriate to, instead of having the Hammond organ play during the funeral, to play Chet's record." And I said, "I think that it would be appropriate if the family didn't object to it, and I don't think they would, but why don't we call them?" And so I called Elizabeth Stuthert, who is Chet's daughter, and from whom I borrowed the instrument and the hat and everything. And I asked her how she felt about that, and she said, "Oh, I think that would be wonderful." And I said, "You know, it occurred to me while I was dialing your number that maybe it would be more appropriate to have someone play Chet's instrument at the funeral." And she said, "Oh, if you know someone who could, I think that would be wonderful." And I called Jay Round and got him out of school, and he came up and played Chet's instrument at the funeral, and it was absolutely the right touch. It was just beautiful. And I almost had the feeling that Chet was going to sit up and applaud. It was great. Worked fine. The rest of this little program is a tribute to the instrument itself, and Bill Spence and Howie Mitchell and Ed Trickett and Jay Round are now going to do something that I think you are really going to like.
What is it? Where do we start?
It really starts a little bit before me. The first Fox Hollow Festival 10 years ago, this is just one of many examples of things that happened to people here at the festival. I remember I was up there behind the rock pile somewhere. I heard this marvelous music coming from down on the stage, and I looked down, and there's this marvelous gentleman in a black hat and well-dressed, playing a rectangular instrument, and he was whacking on it with little sticks. And the motion of his hands and the rhythm of the music and the sound of it was fascinating to me. And I could hardly wait to get over my touch of intestinal flu that I got here in order to get home and start building them. And within a week and a half, I had built what was sort of like what I had understood his instrument to be. It turned out that was inaccurate, but it worked. And since that time, Russell Fluharty and I have talked back and forth and written letters, and it turns out that it's his dream, it's been his dream for years, to bring back the hammer dulcimer, because for a long period of time he would see very few people who knew about it, and he'd find a few that were in the attics and not being played, and he's plays around all over in various festivals, and kind of every now and then he will admit that he hopes that the instrument can be revived somehow. I have a liking for writing and drawing pictures and doing calculations, things like that. So eventually, after building a number of these silly things, I was able to put together a series of statements of my basic understanding of the instrument, and so that I helped in Russell's dream coming true. Bless my soul, I guess after about 4 years of playing, I met this gentleman on my left here, and I gave him a few of the tapes, a tape of a few of the things that I was working on. And they were recognizable. It's like a friend of mine says, I missed a few, but look how many I got right, considering the notes. 6 months later, I met Bill Spence again, and he had not only mastered the content of the tape, but was going on beyond and was adding all sorts of little frilly notes that just seemed to flow out of his system somehow. And now I find that I'm learning from him, I'm learning from Jay, and from people who are kind of communicating back and forth, not only in words, but in music, and it's very exciting. So that's my where I came in on that. Now let's see. I guess I ought to play you a tune or two. This is two tunes stuck together. One is, I've been influenced by Chet Parker, too. I have a record of his, and I play the old spinning wheel in the parlor, sort of like he does. And then I sort of learned another song by him called Silver Bells. And then I was away from the record player for a long period of time, and I wanted to play it, and I filled in the notes. So this isn't Silver Bells anymore, and I call it sort of Silver Bells. So the second thing is sort of Silver Bells. Now, these instruments, you don't have to hit them. You can play them with your fingers. And according to the musicologist, I understand that you're then permitted to call them a psaltery. So I'll play you a psaltery piece.
Things that Howie's always done for folk music is extend the range of the possible, at least the plausible, with his instruments, with the mountain dulcimer, with the hammered dulcimer. And one of the things that's come out of this kind of renewed interest in the hammered dulcimer is using it not so much as a lead instrument, but as a sort of a following. Thank you, sir. Either one. It depends on whether or not we're in tune and doing things at the same time. I like to use the instrument that way rather than play it myself, since I have all these great musicians around me. I just like to play a song that gives you an idea of the range of the possible with the hammered dulcimer. We had a fantasy, by the way, that we were going to all get out of tune. See how quickly we could get in tune and send it into the Guinness Book of World Records. Because, as you know, there's nothing in there about hammered dulcimer tuning. We still might work on it. We could do it. It would take 6 months. We'd still be a record, we figured out. He came from his palace grand, and he came to my cottage door. His words were few, but his looks will linger forevermore. The smile in his sad dark eyes, more tender than words could be, for I was nothing to him, though he was the world to me. For I would be his bride.
Keep things going kind of left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Well, if you start, we started playing with the Phoenix All-Star String Band, we started playing a lot of jig tunes, which are in 6/8 time. So you got to go left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. And you start, you know, and you get, it's very mixed up. And so I'm going to play you three jigs because we haven't done any jigs here tonight. And the first one is one called Tobin's Favorite. Second one is called... Or it's sort of a version of the Swallowtail Jig. It's kind of like Howie's version of Silver Bells. It's sort of a Swallowtail Jig. And the third one is a tune I learned from Neil Wayne, the concertina man from England, who was here this weekend with his band, concertina band. It's called Off She Goes. Is he snickering up there? I hear him snickering. All righty. Thank you.
That's right. Want to hear it again? It's a different note going down. Going down. We'd like to do one thing. It's so fascinating to sort of see how this festival in the last 10 years has sort of made a lot of people evolve in terms of the hammer dulcimer. And it is really a delight for me to have the opportunity to help bring all these great hammer dulcimer players together. I'll obsess about that later. I'd like to ask my wife Penny to come up and join us for one last round, with all apologies to Jay. Now, I don't know how this is going to be mic'd.
Where are we going to put we're gonna move the other mic in.
We better.
And since you three are singing, put Penny in the middle.
Good. Good. But I hope you have an idea, both of the kind of process that has happened around instrument making, instrument building, and instrument playing in the last 10 years, and also around the potential for this funny-looking instrument that you can't put in the baggage compartment of an airplane. You have to buy a child's ticket and sit it on the seat next to you. It's an expensive friend, but one thing is nice, it doesn't, no matter how old it is, it still goes child's fare. And you can always eat its lunch. Thanks for being so kind. This is a round that Joe Hickerson collected in a Jewish summer camp in 1958.
Is that instant folklore?
according to Joe Hickerson, it is. It's a wonderful round. You're not bad either. Thank you. Thank you very much.